Because a government official who liked to save objects of national interest was told by his wife to get this junk out of the house.
Thank you.
hour that mentions the unmentionable. Godfrey Cambridge, who's making it big now, talks of the rough times and the reasons, and we'll find out what that taboo is that may cause heart and other transplants to be abandoned. I'm the mentionable Ted Steele, and here's Monitor Music, one of the newer groups, Harper's Bazaar, and one of the old songs, Battle of New Orleans. American history. And here's another American making history.
Tell me, sir, how much is that beautiful javelin?
I'm afraid I can't tell you.
You're kidding. How do you expect to sell cars if you won't tell people the price?
Well, let me explain. Only the price of this specially equipped javelin is a secret. If you guess it, you can win a javelin free. It's all part of the American Motors Dealers Smart Buyers Convention, where you can now save a ton of money on any American Motors car.
I think I love you.
Licensed drivers 18 and over eligible, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Any new performer has difficulty getting past doors, but Godfrey Cambridge found some doors that didn't even exist for others. He's a funny man with a keen eye for the ridiculous, and that quality came through even when he told Monitor's Joe Garagiola about some career difficulties that weren't funny at the time.
Godfrey, you had a tough time starting out. There were some shows that wouldn't take you even though you had a letter from...
I remember once, and this was the weirdest, for me to get on the air. First of all, they said, well, white people would get mad and black people would get mad.
Because of your humor.
Yeah, you know, and I said, no, man. I said, I've been doing this in the ghetto for years, man. They, you know, I just speak truth wherever it falls. So one network executive said to me, he said, well, if you get letters of approval from the black community, it's cool. So it was the next to the last show, man. I was running around New York like I got a letter from the head of the Urban League. I got a letter from Roy Rogers of the NAACP, James Palmer, who was then head of CORE. And I got one from the head of SNCC. And I got one from Malcolm X, man, who was, like, difficult to find because Malcolm was always moving around. And he was a friend. He said, they don't know where it's at, man. I did. He said, all right. And he wrote a letter. And I went in with the letter. And then they threw it on the producer. They said, well, we got the letters now, but whether you put them on or not, it's up to you, man. That's like telling the bat boy, look, man, if the team loses the game, it's your fault, you know. So we didn't get on. And then it was one wonderful cat, man, who I never like to forget where I've been, so I know where I am, so I know where I'm going. And there was one cat, man, who said, I stand here, and that's Jack Parr. spelled with two A's, folks. And that man, sine qua non, without which nothing, because he was the guy who said he's funny. And he came to see me in a show called Prairie Victorious. I never met the man. He just sent word back saying, you're funny. If I can ever help you, I will. And man, like, I blew the whole continent as far as shows are concerned. Canada and here, I couldn't get on. And I went to that man, and he said, we go. And the networks were like, well, you know, we can't. And Jack said, no. He said, I got a ticket to Hong Kong. You know, I've been there once. He said, I might as well go for something I really dig. And they said, okay, Jax, your show. He said, remember, right, it is my show. And he put me on February 24th, 1964. And then I watched it at my agent's house, because they didn't trust watching it at home, man. I watched it at my agent's house, and I handled it beautifully, man, because I just sat there and cried, man. I just wept like a baby, man. I said, I don't care, man. Think what you will. I just cried. And I met him the next week. It was the first time we'd ever had meeting. We met him in the Italian Pavilion for lunch. And he said, I dig you. You got a long career ahead of you. And I never forgot that, man. Never forgot that guy. When I do my show, my hour variety show, I want to get Jack on that show. Because, man, you don't get too many good people in our business or any business, man. And you got to take care of those good ones that you do get.
He's got some guts.
Oh, baby. You know, he's got guts. And what I like about Jack is he just says, that's what I'm doing. That's it. Don't go around with a lot of flags and waving and accepting plaques. And he just does it. He just does it. And he did it for me. And he did it for a lot of other talent, man, that never been heard before. You know, and he put him on. And he showcased them right. There's a way of putting an artist on, man, that really, the next morning I couldn't walk down the street. And I knew, you know, people never recognize him. The next morning I couldn't walk down the street. It's like, I saw you last night. Gee, you're great. I said, gee, thank you, sir. Wonderful. I couldn't even spell my name right. Bad guy asked me for an autograph. I said, was it G-O-F? No, wait, just, I'll get it for you. I'm going to learn it, sir. Not used to that, sir. No, there you go. Yes.
Godfrey, thank you so much. We enjoyed the visit.
Joe, brother, it's beautiful. Always glad to be with you. Stay well, go well.
And that's the way it ought to be. Talent, new show business, or any other business is too precious to be suppressed by artificial barriers.
Somebody who is longing for love.
singer Shirley Horn, your monitor host, Ted Steele, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Here comes more of Monitor.
Yes, there's much more of Monitor just ahead and throughout the weekend. And tomorrow, there's another one-hour special on NBC News' Second Sunday series, heard right after the news, 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Correspondent Dean Merrill reports on the high cost of medical treatment today and the quality, which affects most Americans, out of proportion to their limited pocketbooks and their growing needs. Medicine, its cost and quality. A Second Sunday feature on NBC tomorrow night. Right now, Monitor Music. Don Cherry, the best golfer among the singers, and certainly the best singer among the top golfers, take a message to Mary.
Mary, oh, light the cell is cold. Take a message to Mary, but don't tell her where I am. Take a message to Mary, but don't say I'm in a jam. You can say she's better not alone, but don't tell her I'm in jail. Oh, don't tell her I'm in jail. Take a message to Mary, but don't tell her what I've done. Please don't mention the stranger and the shot from a careless gun. You can tell her I've had to change my plans and cancel the wedding day. But please don't make it my own self, where I'm going my way until my time.
Nominee. NBC News' Robert Gorowski found out from Mrs. George McGovern.
Mrs. McGovern, when did your husband first indicate that he was interested in seeking the Democratic presidential nomination?
Well, actually, the first serious consideration actually to announce was a few days ago. Before then, he was in a sort of nebulous position of being a third force if people wanted to rally around, and he was there. But the last few days, he's been getting calls from all over the country urging him to make it a little more definite. So this is what he did today.
It's an agonizing decision. What's he been like the past 3 or 4 days? Apart from being busy, and I'm sure he's been that.
George is always a gentle soul, and aside from that, I've hardly seen him.
How is this going to affect your lives? You've got the Secret Service, of course, that'll be with you now for quite some time. How else do you think your lives will be changed by his announced candidacy?
Well, I've seen already today it's going to be changed tremendously, and I'm not quite in tune with it yet.
Well, what ways have changed already?
Everything is more of an open book and less freedom, and I think that the children are going to feel it too, perhaps more than I.
What have they said about it? What have they been talking, how have they been talking between themselves about their change in position?
Well, they're your greatest fans. They've really, really been pushing this. In fact, one daughter said to him the other day, "Dad, what are you going to do after you're president?"
How did he answer that, by the way?
Well, he faced that when he came to it.
Have you thought further about, what happens if it does take you to the White House? All these other things that are bound to occur to you?
Truthfully, I have not. I haven't thought beyond today. I can't even tell you what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. It's such a momentous thing. I have to take it step by step, I think.
Well, how has the senator and yourself, how have you taken the change from one-time academic life to the political life and the spotlight? Do you ever, and does he ever yearn to go back to the quiet of the academic world?
I imagine at times he does, yes, and someday he will, because he enjoyed the academic world. He loved teaching. I think he's happiest today when he's on the college campus talking to students. Yes, once in a while. Maybe not quite as much as I do. But he's very, very happy in politics. He feels, I think, for the first time in his life, he's using all of his energy, all of his resources, and this means a lot.
Are you planning to speak on his behalf?
Well, this is another thing I haven't really thought about until today. Oh, of course, in a very small way. I'm not a public speaker. I really haven't done very much of it, in spite of the fact that we met as opposing debaters.
Oh, really?
Back in high school. And my teammate and I even beat him once, which was a miracle. I doubt if I would do very much now, but I certainly will travel with him and be with him all the time.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. George McGovern. I hate to think of the number of cups of tea and coffee you'll be drinking until such time as this is decided.
Well, I'm used to that.
Thank you very much again. Now, this is Robert Goralski, NBC News, back to Monitor in New York.
Mrs. McGovern, who seems quite content to let George do it. at San Francisco. NBC News on the Hour next. I'm your monitor host, Ted Steele. And here's a break for you.
The wheel must take, the station break. Don't turn your set off, don't you make a mistake. Don't leave us.